Thank you, Tom. I just want to say a personal word to Tom Cotter. Tom has been my friend for the last 10 years I've been here, and loved getting to work with him and loved getting to know him. And my first call in coming here, before I even came here, because I heard they're looking for a youth pastor, and they said, but the youth pastor is still there, still serving. I was like, what? So the youth pastor is leading worship, but you're going to be coming as a youth pastor. Oh, this is strange. Okay. And so I called Tom, and I said, man, I know you don't know me, but is this okay? Is this weird? And Tom was my biggest cheerleader then, and has continued to be such an amazing encouragement to me. So Tom, wherever you went, he's probably in the hall walking, but Tom, I want you to know, if you're watching this later, we love you. I love you. And I'm going to miss you. And so, right? Yep. So, having said that, we are going to, if you would stay, when the invitation's done, we're going to be recognizing Tom this morning. And we want to make sure everyone's here for that. So, speaking of youth, being a youth pastor, I remember back when I first started as a youth pastor. Actually, I was not a youth pastor yet. I was a youth intern, and one of my first responsibilities at the church I was working with, they said, "Hey, we're going to take a trip. It's like a leadership trip, and we're going to London. Do you want to go?" Yeah, of course I want to go. And so we took a group of students, and we got to go to London and to see all that was there in London, and just to experience that and to be a part of that. And if you've ever been there, I mean, it's an amazing city. But we were there, and we had a student with us. It was a sophomore in high school. His name was Marcus. And Marcus was the class clown. And we're going, and we're looking through the different things there in the city. And we stopped by one of the places where there's the fuzzy hat guards. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of them. But you know what I mean, the fuzzy hat guards, right? And there's different spots all over the city where they're standing there, and they're guarding, and they've got to keep this straight face, right? They've got to do their duty, and they can't smile, they can't laugh. Well, our student Marcus, who's the class clown, thought this would be hilarious to try and make them laugh. And so the youth pastor that I was working under, he was there on the trip, but I don't know, he went across the street to do something. So I was in charge, and Marcus said, hey man, can I just go look at the guards? I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, you know. And so he begins to do everything he can. He begins to make faces. He begins to walk back and forth and just kind of mock them and taunt them. And you can tell the guard, I mean, they are keeping their composure. The guards are keeping their composure. But a crowd began to gather and watch our student. And of course, the other students are laughing too, because this is hilarious, right? Because Marcus is just trying to get everyone to laugh. And finally, our youth pastor comes back over from across the street, and he says, "Marcus, Matt, the rest of you guys, come over here." He pulls us over there, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. One of my first opportunities as an intern, and I've blown it. And so he pulls us over. His name is John Brooks, an incredible mentor in my life. But John says this. He says, "Guys, you have to understand something. You have to understand that this place is not America. This place is not our home. This place is different. Their leadership is different. The way they govern is different. And you have to be mindful of that. We are not in America. We are part of a kingdom here. These are the Queen's guards. You don't trample on tradition. You don't trample on honor and duty." He said, "You have to understand that we have to respect their rules. We have to respect who they are as a people. We can't come in here and try and act our way. We have to honor the fact that we are a part of a kingdom." Well, we didn't understand that, right? I mean, we understood, but it's like a kingdom. We don't live in a kingdom. We live in America. But I remember that and remember the lesson there, that we had to be mindful of the fact that we weren't at our home anymore. We were part of a different kingdom. We lived there for the week. That was our home for the week. But just for that time. Our real home was back here. But we had to remember how to act when we're a part of this other kingdom as guests there. I share that with you this morning because as we're in this series called Good News, I want to share some great, great news with you this morning. But I also have some news to share that is it's hard to hear. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a lot of different passages this morning. I'm going to try not to jump around super much, but I want us this morning to be reminded of the fact that we also are part of a kingdom. And we have a king who is in control. And sometimes it may not feel that way, right? Sometimes it may feel out of control, but to be reminded of the fact that we have a king. So this morning, as we jump into this good news, we're looking at the kingdom and the kingdom come. We're looking at what awaits us as a part of God's kingdom. So if you're taking notes this morning, I would encourage you to have a pen, paper, your Bibles. If you want to look at the YouVersion app, you can as well. But I want us to follow along this morning because I want to give you some hope and give you some encouragement this morning as we share together in God's Word. So reminding ourselves that we are a part of a kingdom. And let's look at this morning, the King and His Kingdom. Let's look at the King and His Kingdom. So the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Christ, the Bible has a lot of different names for the kingdom. But it undergirds the teaching of the entire Bible. All throughout Scripture, we're seeing this theme come up again and again that we're part of a kingdom. And the Scriptures reveal God using a number of metaphors, but the primary imagery that the biblical writers used was that of God being a king, the ultimate supreme king. And with that is the conviction that he reigns over creation as his kingdom, right? So all of creation is God's kingdom. In the general sense, then, God has always been the sovereign king because he made it. God is the king, and he rules in heaven over all things in heaven, but also over all things in earth. Stop for a minute there, and let's just remind ourselves that God is the king and God is on his throne. That right there is incredible news this morning. To be reminded that we're not just wandering or drifting around in a world that seems chaotic, but we can know that God, as the supreme king, is on his throne. He's never left his throne. He never will leave his throne. He is the king. Can I get an amen? That's good. That's good news. All right. So let's look at this, because the first picture we see of God establishing his rule over creation is in Genesis. And God declares that all things are good and everything was made perfectly, including mankind, who he made in his image. But he gave mankind the free will to choose whether to honor him as the king or not. And we know the decision that Adam and Eve made. And so then we begin to see throughout Scripture how God, even though it seems like, oh, man messed it up. Man messed up God's plan. God begins to work in a different way, where he calls a man named Abraham and his descendants to be his special people, with the kingdom of God being primarily there in Israel. Israel was to be a light to the world. Israel was to be a picture of God's rule. Okay, we see the sons of David sitting on that throne, and we see the temple. But this, we have to understand that this ethnically and geographically limited form of the kingdom, it wasn't an end in and of itself. How do I know that? Well, all throughout the Old Testament, we see that there is going to be the coming of the king, a coming of the king that will be established there in Jerusalem, and we know who that king is. So when I said that God never left his throne, God didn't leave his throne, but we know that Jesus came as God's son, as now bringing the kingdom to earth. So God is a king and reigns over all of his creation, and Jesus brought God's kingdom to this earth before, and he will do it again. So the New Testament teaches us that as Jesus came, he ushered in this new era of the kingdom. Now the king had come to earth. And I want to point you to a passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 20. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. But I love this passage, because this passage reminds us of the fact that Jesus was there at creation. And not only was he there, but that he was a part of it. Let's look at this together in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Paul tells us, he says, he, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to him to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And when Jesus came to earth, he continually talked about the kingdom of God. He brought the kingdom to earth. In fact, he and John the Baptist both attest to the fact that the kingdom is at hand, and that he, now that he has come, we begin to see that the deaf have their hearing restored, the blind are beginning to see, the sick are being healed, because the king has come, and Jesus is coming to bring the kingdom to this earth. In fact, all throughout Scripture, we see Jesus teaching about the kingdom. His teaching showed how people may enter the kingdom. His miracles demonstrated that the kingdom was present. His parables illustrated truths about the kingdom. And get this, when he taught his followers to pray, his words included, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." When Jesus prayed that, he is praying that God's kingdom would come, and that God's kingdom, that eventually there would be a time in our world where we would be so overwhelmed with the king and his power that it would be similar to heaven. The fact that God rules there and people look there and worship, angels look there and worship him. And God is showing us. Jesus is teaching us, praying for the kingdom to come. Now, it didn't look the way that people thought it would. And the Jewish people didn't understand, well, if you're really claiming to be the king, then save us. But then to see Jesus die on the cross, and they thought, well, surely he's not the king. Why would that happen to a king? But we know what happened next, and we know the fact that Jesus proved that he was the king over life and death, came back to life. But then he gives his disciples a charge, and we're going to look at that here more in just a minute. But Jesus left, and you may say, well, okay, then the kingdom left. No, Jesus ushered in the final stage of the kingdom where he came as the king, he established his authority, and then he told the church, "Church, you are going to be my representatives now. You are going to represent the kingdom." The church is to be the representatives of the kingdom until Jesus returns. That's our calling. The full manifestation of the kingdom is not even here yet. The kingdom has already come, but it's still not yet. I know that, like, wait, that doesn't make sense. I know, right? The kingdom has come, but it's not fully established until Christ returns. And so let's look at that for just a moment. We've seen the king and his kingdom. This morning, I want you to see the kingdom promise that awaits those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as the king in our lives. And this is so exciting. This is so awesome. Good news, right? First of all, the will of God will be done throughout the earth just as it is in heaven. Okay, so we need to understand that when Jesus comes back, there will be a time where Jesus returns to make right what has gone wrong. He came once. He established his authority, his leadership. He ascended to heaven, but he will return for the church. And when he returns, the will of God will be done throughout the earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that amazing to think about? That one day, the craziness we see in this world, it won't be there anymore, because we will be worshiping God, and we will see the will of God done throughout the earth as it is in heaven. As the angels bow down to him in heaven and recognize his rule, all people will do that. All people will worship him and see him as the one true king. Zechariah 14:9 says, "On that day, Yahweh will become king over all the earth, Yahweh alone and his name alone." So when the king returns, the will of God will be done throughout the earth as it is in heaven. That prayer that Jesus prayed, we will see that fulfilled. But you also need to understand that we will never again have to experience pain, sorrow, and the temptations that come with the trials of this life. We've shared this passage. I'm sure you've seen this passage many times, but in Revelation 21, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because we're reminded in this of what's going to happen when the King returns. When the King returns for his bride, we are going to see this happen. John says this. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying, pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Is that not the best news ever? That one day we won't have to deal with temptations, trials, sorrows anymore, because the King will return and the King will make right what the world has messed up. The King will return and he will allow us to be a part of his rule here on earth. There's some amazing promises in that. I want to show you a few of them this morning. Not only will we get to experience the freedom from pain and sorrow, not only will we get to experience the will of God finally done throughout the earth as it is in heaven, but we will get to rule and reign with Christ. Now, he'll still be the King, but he's going to allow us to be a part of that. Let me show you some things that await us as followers of Jesus. We will inherit a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8 talks about that. We'll inherit the crown of life. We'll inherit the crown of glory. We'll inherit access to the King's power. We'll get to enjoy the King's power, possessions, and authority, including even ruling over the angels. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Maybe you didn't know that, but right? I don't understand how all that's going to work, right? That's a God thing, but it's like, wow, that's cool. And then Jesus, if you remember in the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So guess what we, as God's children, inherit? The earth and all that's in the earth, the restored right earth. As Christ promised, the meek shall inherit the earth, and part of that will involve specific responsibilities according to our faithfulness in this world. Again, I think there's Luke 19:17 talks more about that. Daniel 7:18, let me share this. "The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Wow. So we have a King who's in control. We have a King who's on his throne. He's never left it. He never will leave it. And he is coming back for us. And we will inherit all that comes with being a part of that kingdom. We'll inherit crowns. We'll inherit glory. We'll inherit the earth. That's crazy to think about, right? Why would God do that? Because he loves us, because he's our King, and he's a good and just and righteous King. Amazing news there. But here's where it seems a little challenging. We're going to talk about the kingdom challenge lastly this morning. We know we're a part of a kingdom. We know that we're a part of God's kingdom if you have given your life to Christ. And when I say that, I'm not talking about just praying a prayer. I'm talking about giving your life to Christ and beginning a relationship with Christ, where now you give the authority back to the King, and you say, "God, my life is not my life. My life is yours. You made me, you know me, and I want you to be my King and my Lord." But when God gave the freedom to allow us to choose to be a part of his kingdom, and also giving the angels the freedom to do that, we know that there was an angel or a legion of angels that didn't want to follow. They didn't want to be a part of that kingdom because they thought that they could establish a better kingdom. And we know that that is the enemy, Satan. We know that he is a deceiver. He is the great accuser. He has been and continues to be. And so what he has done is, as he has lost his place in heaven, he has tried to set up a kingdom here on this earth to usurp the one true King. And so we see the results of that. we see the results of what this false king has tried to do in building up his own kingdom. The parable of the wheat and the weeds is a story that Jesus taught, and this is in Matthew 13. And I want to share this with you this morning. He presented another parable to them, starting in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and left. When the plant sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's slaves came to him and said, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he told them. "An enemy did this." We know, having the perspective of history and also seeing how Jesus answered them later, we know that that enemy was Satan. He came and tried to do all kinds of crazy stuff to God's kingdom, to usurp God's power and authority. We know from Scripture that Satan is a lion, prowling back and forth, looking for whom he may devour. And in 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul encourages Timothy with this. He says, "Perhaps God will grant them repentance." These are people that are not believers. "Grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses," check this, "and escape the devil's trap, having been captured by him to do his will." So people that don't know Christ, that aren't a part of the kingdom of God, are literally entrapped by the enemy. And the enemy has deceived them. And we see that all throughout our world. We know people, we work with people, we see people that don't know Christ, and we see them doing things or saying things or we see that in the media played out with people on the streets, and we're like, why does this happen? Why are people doing this? Well, it's because the enemy has captured them, and he is causing them to do his will. And the problem that we have is that we are part of God's kingdom, but we have to live in this false kingdom. So it's like we're part of two different kingdoms. Now we need to understand that the kingdom that we are going to one day, that is our true home. But yet we're here amidst the chaos of this world, in this little K kingdom. Not the big K kingdom, not the kingdom, but we're part of this kingdom where we see that things are not right. And we scratch our heads and we think, why is this happening? What in the world is going on? We feel the pull of those kingdoms. We feel all that comes with that. We see the kingdom of death. We see the kingdom of destruction. We see the kingdom of violence and evil and hatred and sickness and selfishness rampant throughout our world. We see these kingdoms and we struggle and we wonder, God, why? Why do you allow this? This isn't God's plan. The enemy has done this. The enemy has come and he has entrapped people and he has planted weeds, trying to mess up, trying to usurp the king and his kingdom. And we think, well, when will you just come back, Jesus? Take us out of this kingdom and take us to your kingdom. But when Jesus left this earth as our king, he said this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You know, the Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Remember, he's the king. So all authority in heaven and on earth is his. And now he tells his people, "Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when Jesus left, he left us here as the church because that was the next part of his plan in spreading his kingdom. He has called us to a rescue mission. He has called us to a rescue mission for the kingdom. So as we're stuck in this world with all of this selfishness and sin that we see around us, we feel its pull. We feel the pull of selfishness, don't we? We're definitely feeling the pull of sickness going on in our world. And we're ready to be done with it, right? We are ready to be done with all of this. But Jesus says, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. I have left you here because you are a part of my commission. You are a part of my rescue mission to rescue humanity. You are to be my hands and feet. You are to be a part of rescuing people from that trap of the enemy. You are to be a part of that rescue mission. And I know we want to be done with it. We want to be in heaven where we're going to get all that stuff, right? We want to be in heaven where God's will is done and it's perfect, right? But until then, we're here. And we have a mission while we're here. And a lot of times it feels easy to give up, doesn't it? It feels like it's so, we see the news and it's such bad news. And we think this is hopeless. Jesus, just come back now. And it's okay to pray that, but we have to remember that we can't just watch and we can't just wait, but we have to work. We watch, we wait, and we work. And we say, okay, God, I'm here another day, and for some reason, you have something you want me to do today for your kingdom. So as your ambassador, as your representative, will you show me what that is? See, God's story isn't done yet. God's story continues through us. And there are many, many people who still need to be rescued. And rather than focus on ourselves and focus on how bad things are, we look at how bad things are and we say, okay, God, so how do we push back the darkness? How do we bring your kingdom to this world? How do we let people know of the amazing truth that is out there for those that follow Christ? You live it out. You share it. You remember that you're here another day for that reason, to be a part of the commission, to be a part of God's rescue mission to reach the world. So we don't just watch. We don't just wait. We work. We work to bring about the kingdom to this earth. I want to show you a quick video, and this video helps illustrate that. Waiting for Jesus' return, and when Jesus comes back, how will he find us? What will we do before he gets here? Will he find us being selfless? Or will he find us being self-centered? Will he find us worshiping idols? You know, being a part of the kingdom of this world, we get sucked into a lot of stuff, right? And we begin to think that the life is all about this, or it's all about that, it's all about football, or it's all about this, or letting people know everything that's happening in my life on social media, right? And we get so focused on ourselves that we forget that we are a part of a kingdom the kingdom. And our mission is to not make ourselves known, but to make him known. Our mission is to get out there and to share the good news of the gospel. And I'm so, as much as we're all looking and seeing the bad news in the media, you've got to know that there is some great news happening out there right now. If you watched yesterday either the return or the Franklin Graham march on the Capitol, to see tens of thousands of people praying for God to bless our nation before we experience calamity, praying that we would return to our King and worshiping our King, and praying that God's will would be done. We see work happening all over the country right now and the world, but the country specifically, in some of these cities where these riots and protests have been happening, you need to also know that there's been revival happening. There are people getting baptized there on the streets in Minneapolis. There are movements happening in church in California where the churches are shut down right now. There was a gathering of 12,000 people there on the steps of the Capitol a couple of weeks ago worshiping God. There is good news happening because people are beginning to realize that we need to push back the darkness and we need to bring the kingdom to this world. This is God's world. He made it and he will return. He will return for his bride. But for some reason, he has us here another day. And in this day, in this time where we have been separated for the last 6 months as the church, and believe me, the enemy loves that. He loves that the church has not been able to come together. But we begin to realize that, okay, even if you're at home watching live stream, or we're just glad you're with us, but realizing that we are the church and we are called to push back the darkness. We have already been given the victory. We don't have to wonder, are we going to win this thing? God, are you going to win this thing? I mean, how's this all going to turn out? We know how it turns out. We have victory. We have hope. And we can rest in that and know that and be confident in that as we wait for his return. So the good news, you need to understand, we have a king. He hasn't left his throne. He has a kingdom. He's already sent Jesus as the king to establish his reign, and Jesus is coming back. He is coming back for his bride, and we will not have to deal with the chaos and craziness in this world anymore because the kingdom will be established here on earth as it is in heaven. But until then, our rescue mission is to bring as many people with us as we can. Church, the days are short. We don't know how much longer this is going to play out. A lot of people are saying, is the end coming? I can't tell you that, but we're sure seeing a lot of craziness. A lot of people are thinking, okay, this is end time prophecy being fulfilled right here. We don't know how much time we have left. But we do know that in the time that we have, our King is on his throne. Our King has given us a mission. And we have got to be faithful to that mission and hold on another day and another day until he comes back to make things right. And he will. He will. Amen? He will. He will. That's amazing news. As we head into a time of invitation, I want to share this with you, that if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, and again, like I said earlier, I'm not just talking about praying a prayer that begins with that, but in that prayer, you are giving your life to the King, the one who made you, the one who knows you, the one who can give you true life. And you are making him the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, this morning, you can join that kingdom. You will receive the promises that have been mentioned. But you need to also understand that you've also inherited a mission, a rescue mission, to go into the world and to bring back as many people as we can before the King returns. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never given him control of your life as the King, it begins with admitting that you're a sinner, realizing that you are not the King, realizing that if life continues to be about you doing you, then you're going to fall short every time. But giving ownership back to the one who made you. confessing your sins, believing that Jesus Christ is the King, and committing your life to serving him. If you've never done that this morning, you have the opportunity to do that. If you'd bow your heads with me, close your eyes for just a moment. I'm going to ask our pastors to come to the front. And for a time of invitation, we want to invite you this morning. Maybe you feel, you're hearing this and you're thinking, I don't have that hope. I don't have that peace. I don't have that contentment. I don't feel like I have that victory. Well, it may be because you don't have Jesus as the King of your life. And this morning, you need to come to the place where you say, Jesus, I acknowledge the fact that you are the King, and I give you my life. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Our pastors are down here. We can help you with that. We can help you take those next steps. Or maybe you're not a part of this church where you can be edified and encouraged as being a part of this kingdom. What a great foretaste of what awaits us when we are together in heaven with the entire kingdom, past and present and future. And we're going to see people from all walks of life, from all different skin colors, all different nationalities. There'll be no more violence in the streets. There'll be no more racism. There'll be no more chaos because Jesus will be the King. He is the King. And one day he will return and establish his rule on this earth as it is in heaven. For those of you that are Christ followers, there are amazing blessings, but there is also an amazing mission that's in front of you. This morning, maybe you want to come and talk to one of our pastors about how to give your life to Christ, to make him the King of your life. Or maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar and say, I have not been a part of that mission. I've been so focused on the chaos and so focused on myself. Or maybe you just need to just come and just pray as a way of saying, God, I'm not where I should be. I want to be right with you. I want to be used by you for your kingdom. Whatever God lays on your heart in these next few moments, we want to give you the opportunity to respond to him, to acknowledge him as the King, and to leave here challenged, knowing that you have victory and you can have joy and have peace. But it comes from focusing on the one true King and not the kingdom of this world that's so messed up. The one true King and his one true kingdom. Father, these next few moments, show us what you want from us, God. Show us where we need to align ourselves with you. God, forgive us for being so focused on ourselves that we forget about the people out there. We're seeing them as the people that are out there. We see them as the enemy, but they're victims of the enemy. They're not the enemy. Lord, remind us of that and remind us to be a part of that rescue mission to rescue them from the trap of the enemy. Father, whatever it is you have for us this morning, however we need to respond, would you have your way with us? It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to stand with us as we sing.